Oh, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. And Craig, we will talk about the precious metals because, you know what, June is off to a good start, especially for gold, and it's seeing some more volatility, especially to the upside. Some actually double-digit dollar-wise moves in gold, which we hadn't seen in, well, quite a while, especially follow-through in terms of those. But tomorrow we do have the jobs report. We already got a little peek at the ADP report from earlier this week, and it was pretty negative, but that didn't have a huge impact, it didn't seem like, on the U.S. equity markets, as they have been rebounding. But what do you think? How important is this job market or job report tomorrow, all considering it hasn't been a huge market mover in the last few reports?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see exactly what that number comes in, because as you said, the ADP report back on Wednesday was like the worst one in 10 years or something like that. I mean, it was really bad, 27,000 or something. I don't know, Corey, you know, it seems as if there's a history of you get a two or three bad reports in a row. Like even just this week, the first three PMI numbers came out, the two manufacturing PMIs were terrible. The first service PMI was awful. And then the last service PMI suddenly wildly beats expectations. So it seems like at this point in the cycle, we're not yet at a point of consistently bad data. So who knows? Maybe, especially with expectations set as low as they are after the ADP number, maybe the NFP number tomorrow, the jobs report will actually be better than expected. Who knows? It'll be gamed, right? The algos will chew it up in the first couple of minutes, and then we'll try to figure out what's really in there. Probably the earnings component will be the most important part of it, more so than just the employment rate or something like that. And it may or may not, if it's particularly poor, like that ADP thing, you know, if all of a sudden it's, 50,000 jobs or something, that may put a little extra starch into Chairman Powell and his FOMC meeting that's coming up in about 10 days. But I still suspect, and maybe we can go into this, that even though he's falling way behind the curve, and I say that pun intended because the yield curve is inverting, I suspect he still may not do anything here in June, and that may actually make his situation worse. And there's probably a lot that we can talk about there.
Hey, I'm with you. I do not think that the Fed is going to be raising rates in June. We're only about a week and a half away from that meeting now. And of course, unless things get really bad, say in the markets or with trade wars, just in generally, then maybe Powell would move. But as it stands right now, I do not see the Fed cutting rates. But July is a whole nother story. Plus, still, even more can happen between now and then. Why do you think that Powell is still going to be on hold at this next meeting? And who knows what he says, but the more important thing is on hold, and I'm sure he'll drive that home.
And let me get, there's three points to this answer, and we'll start with why would he be on hold? One, because he's such a pragmatic guy, or he seems that way, and he doesn't want to be cast in the light of being like Trump's lapdog, because Trump has made such a big deal and has cut Lowe and other folks in the administration that he needs to cut rates. And so I think in a way to show his independence, he'll wait. Now, the problem with that and why I say that's painting him into a deeper corner is that in a strictly classical Keynesian sense, he should immediately cut rates in that the yield curve is inverted and continues to invert the longer he waits. It gets worse and worse for him. The two-year note was just as recently as last week at 215, it's now 185. The effective federal funds rate, the overnight rate, the shortest of the short, is 240. Okay, so, I mean, he'd have to cut 75 basis points just to establish a positively sloping yield curve again, where we'd be at 165 Fed funds, 185 two-year, and 210 on the 10-year. So he's that far behind the curve. If you go back and look, each time there's been a press conference and a major FOMC every 12 weeks this year, he has done nothing, and all this talk about pausing and all that jazz. And the bond market has rallied like crazy. And what I believe the bond market is saying is, look, the longer you wait to reverse policy, the sharper and more significant the recession is going to be. Therefore, hell's bells, buy me the 10-year at 250, buy me the 10-year at 2.25, buy me the 10-year at 210, because that's, you know, if there's no inflation and no economic growth on the horizon, then you can buy those babies and make a lot of money on them. And so what I think is going to happen is Powell, being pragmatic and all this stuff, will just simply change their verbiage in 2 weeks, you know, and they'll talk about how several market participants discussed the likelihood that we should cut rates, while several participants thought inflation was transitory and that the data, you know how that goes. And so therefore they won't do anything. The bond market will accelerate to the upside in the aftermath, you know, in the days that follow. And that 2-year note will go from 185 to 175 to 165. And then all of a sudden, Powell's going to owe us 100 basis points to try to make the yield curve positive sloping again. So he's actually digging his own grave in a sense. And that's probably a bad metaphor. He's painting himself deeper into a corner by dithering. His other option of actually putting out a 75 basis point rate cut, in a classical sense, that'd be the smart thing to do, I guess. If he did, he's exposed as having made a policy error and, you know, lying to us all along about balance sheet normalization and all that kind of stuff. So he's kind of damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. I think he's not going to, and that's only going to make his problem worse. Gold and silver have finally figured this out, even though you and I have been talking about this for about the past 6 months. And over the last 2 weeks, gold's rallied, well, not even 2 weeks, week and a half, gold's rallied $75. Regardless of what he does, gold's going to go higher now. And that's a good thing for all of us.
Well, that $75 move, we haven't seen that in a long time. Plus, that comment, you know, it is going to go higher. It might not go straight up, though. A lot of resistance.
Yeah.
Still a lot at play here, especially because of how almost extreme the markets have gotten, thinking and forcing Powell and the Fed into some rate cut. As you said, he might hold off. And that could cause a little bit of short-term turmoil, don't you think?
Oh, sure. Yeah. You know what that might be? Let's just say let's just kind of hypothetically play this out. We get to 2 weeks from now and prices are about where they are for gold and silver and the bond market and everything else. And then he doesn't do anything. Maybe initially gold sells off. But again, if you go back, anybody can pull up, you know, longer term charts. Look at what the bond market has done each of the times that he has spoken. Now, at the same time, gold has been hammered each of the times it's been spoken too, because they almost look at it from different angles. Nonetheless, if say it's whatever that is, the 19th, I guess, of June, it'll be coming up 1 week from this coming Wednesday. The move over the next couple of days would be a sharp move higher in the bond market, lower rates. And I think any initial weakness in gold would then turn and then move higher as well. There are some key levels to watch, because like you said, it's never going to go straight up that under any circumstances. But I think everybody can look at the chart. Everybody's waiting for a breakout above 1360. COMEX Gold has not posted a weekly close above 1360 since 2013. So any weekly close for 1 or 2 weeks in a row above 1360 is going to get everybody excited, and you're going to start getting a lot of positive momentum and sentiment. And gold in all its forms is going to get demanded, not just futures contracts. So that's a key level to watch. Silver is still fighting, even as you and I speak, against a massive speculator, hedge fund, short position. And it is really struggling to get through its, not only its 50-day, but its 200-day moving average. And what I try to explain to people on my site, think of these funds as being kind of pre-programmed, and they take technical signals. And when the price is moving higher and above things like its 200-day moving average, those machines are apt to buy the dip, okay? But in our current technical positioning, price is below the 200-day and has been moving lower. So the machines are set, and this is a gross oversimplification, but the machines are set to sell the rally. And so as price and silver has rallied this last week or so, you'll have noticed that open interest hasn't changed much, particularly in the July, which is going to go off the board in 3 weeks, which tells me that these funds are still not being squeezed. They're not you know, getting forced out and covering and seeing price rocket up, they're probably actually even adding to shorts. We know from the COT report last week that we've got almost a record net short position of the speculator hedge funds and managed money. I don't think we've seen any of that squeeze yet. Once silver gets above the 200-day, then we might get a quick move up to 16 or so. But for now, we're watching 1360 in gold, and we're watching that 200-day moving average in silver, which is around 1510.
You're not alone watching those levels, but you know what? There has been some very positive developments in the gold sector, and there is still a little bit of room to get more people into the sector, but more things are going in at least gold's favor. Can we talk about, though, how everything does seem to be going in gold's favor now? The U.S. dollar has been falling recently, the U.S. markets have shown some weakness, and we also have the Fed being, again, painted into a corner. When you start to get all these things lined up, sometimes it makes you take a step back, I think, and say, oh, you know what, everything is getting a bit too optimistic. Plus, we've even had a lot of the bigger gold stocks moving higher. Do you worry at all when you do see, it seems like everything that you look at being positive, bullish for gold, maybe outside of just simply inflation, still not screaming higher?
Corey, we've got several old adages, we call them, at TF Metals Report. And one of them that goes back to the very beginning is, if you're trading gold and silver, if you want to survive, you have to always be prepared to sell some when things look the rosiest and buy some when things look the worst, because there's always that kind of contrary move that's coming. So I believe that, no doubt about it. I don't know if we're at that point, though, where things look the rosiest just yet. Yeah, we've moved pretty sharply higher these last 6 or 7 days, and the RSI would appear to make it look short-term overbought, no doubt about that. But it has only been 6 or 7 days. And if you look at the Commitment of Traders report for relative positioning, I mean, we have a long, long ways to go before you would think that, you know, we're on the verge of the speculators getting washed out, that kind of thing. So I hear where you're coming from. But I'm not sure that, other than on a, you know, like an hourly basis, we're that that heavily rosy just yet. So I do think there's room to go. But man, that there's a, as you can see, anybody can pull up the weekly chart, there is a fight of fights that's coming at that 1360 level, and it's gonna, I don't know, before maybe the end of the summer if we'll get through there. It's gonna be quite a struggle.
It probably will be. I agree with you there, Craig. But good chatting with you. It's been absolutely an encouraging most recent move, though. Gives us a lot more to talk about on the more positive side, 2019, especially if we can get just a little bit move higher and break that recent February high. Can, again, just bring in more traders. But overall, still need to watch all these other markets, and a lot of eyes are going to be on what the Fed says and what Powell says at that next meeting in about a week and a half. Craig, great chatting with you. Have a great weekend, my friend.
All the best to you, my friend. I'll talk to you next week.